What we have to fear are dreams themselves.
Welcome to Two Watchmen and a Lady, a Watchmen podcast by DweebThePeople.com. I'm Steven.
I'm Randy.
I'm Dee.
And today we're talking about Watchmen, Season 1, Episode 7, in almost religious awe.
But don't forget to bash your husband's brain in while he's just casually reading a book.
And there's a lot of pigs.
And now it's time to Dweeb the People. Welcome to Two Watchmen and a Lady, Watchmen podcast by DweebThePeople.com. If you like this podcast, then share it with your friends. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at DweebThePeople. You can find Steven on Twitter at DweebSteven. You can find Randy on Twitter at CasualChinos. And a special Twitter appearance by Dee recently.
I did.
At DweebDPence.
I actually answered someone, too.
Yep. And don't forget to rate us high.
Yes.
Even when we're low.
Or while you're high.
Not in Texas.
Could be a different kind of high. I mean, not a legal high.
I'm high on life. I'm a loser.
She's so high.
High above
Al
me.
Al Bachman. All right, yeah, there you go.
You're so lovely. Let's just keep doing this. Just
doing
we can switch the songs.
Say just do some awesome 90s one-hit wonders.
Ooh.
D, say...
Said, what about Breakfast at Tiffany?
Ooh, that's a good one. D, say one word and see if Randy can come up with a song that has that word.
Oh, but I was going to sing a song.
Well, then sing a song.
No, I don't want to.
All right. We were both going to let you sing a song.
I was going to sing Bitch.
I'm a bitch. I'm a lover.
I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint.
Welcome to the karaoke podcast.
I will not be ashamed.
No one knows what any of these songs are.
What? How can you not know whatever Meredith Brooks? Ooh, was that her.
Yeah.
That's a good way to pull that out of your ass.
It's one thing to know the song, but no one knows the artists.
I was going
to
say Natalie Imbruglia, but that would be incorrect.
She did Torn.
Yeah, she did Torn.
I am Torn.
Video.
Nothing's wrong, I'm torn.
What's the video?
She's naked on the floor.
Google that right
really?
After this, buddy.
All right. I hope it's an SD.
No, I think it's probably an ultra low def at this point.
All right, let's get into it. There's a lot of happened in this episode.
What? Yes. No way.
Yeah, you're right. We should just do top two.
Okay.
D, go.
Ah! Well, I think it's kind of cool that we found out that Angela got her name from a movie, and it was Sister Night, and she liked her because she looked like her, and I thought that was pretty cool, because there really aren't a lot of black female superheroes. I don't know that she was a superhero, but
well,
that was cool.
And technically, that's only a 3-star film.
Didn't look that good.
I'm shocked it got 3. Because I was reading, you'd be proud of me, Randy, I was reading PDpedia, and that's what it said. It said it got 3 stars from the review.
Yeah. The PDpedia for this, for the Sister Night movie is pretty damn great.
It must be out of 10 stars, right? There's no way they'd get 3 out of 5.
Well, I don't know, because it was it's referencing Ebert, and Siskel and Ebert did thumbs up, so I don't really know.
So PD really doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, it's an alternate reality where maybe Siskel was killed by the giant squid.
Could be.
But
fan fiction is endless.
I think what was funny about the PDpedia when he's talking about the Sister Night thing is that it references things like there was an onslaught of black masked vigilantes that came on, and one of them was Batman.
Hmm.
Bat Night Owl.
What? Okay.
PDpedia. But yeah, no, Sister Night, I mean, if you it matches up. Now we know why she has the rosary for a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it worked out really well.
It's kind of cool.
Not for the bad guys.
That's right.
She's but I'm not nun. Catholic. Oh, you're assaulting my rights for religious freedom.
The nun with the motherfucking gun on the cover.
Dee, that was your thing, Sister Night?
Yeah, I thought it was cool that we found out where she came from.
Sister.
Never knew how much I missed you.
We all watch Sister Night, and now we call our show Sister.
Whatever happened to Tia and Tamara?
You just wrote that by your name?
That's fine. Never look at the screen, by the way, because you never know what I'm writing. Randy, go.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Cal is Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. That was pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Not only was that pretty big, it was also incredible the way that she had to bring him back.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you would think that they would come up with a better way, but...
That wouldn't leave a body behind.
Well, and, like, that was my question. Is he inside the body? Like, is it... Was, like, that body, like, a host for Dr. Manhattan? Or is... Was that device just keeping him from turning blue?
I thought it was just a clone, basically, that he just is inhabiting. And they came up with that story of the car crash because there would be no memory before Cal was created.
I was leaning towards whatever that device was that she pulled out of his head was some sort of inhibitor. In the comic books, in the graphic novel, his view of the future is clouded by tachyons, and I thought maybe he learned something from that, and he wanted to reconnect with humanity, and so he basically they came up with this story. I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but I mean, we do see him as blue,
yes,
in the next episode. I don't know if that's Cal being Cal and covered in blue paint. It's going to be interesting the way they do it, but
yeah. She's in love with a cosplayer.
I will say that in at the end of this episode when she wakes him up and says it's time to come out of the tunnel, he's glowing blue.
Yeah,
so obviously we're going to get that at some point. But I did somebody on Reddit also did a freeze frame of the episode where she was traveling through the memories of her grandfather, and when she dives out the window and she's frozen, and there's a close up of her eye, and Cal is talking to her, mm-hmm. and the silhouette looks like Dr. Manhattan.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I kind of shied away from theories on this. I knew Dr. Manhattan would show up at some point, and there were screeners out there, and people were, I guess, going crazy for internet points and stuff. But there was apparently a lot of things that pointed towards this. That I didn't pick up on because I'm a dum-dum.
I got to tell you, I called it from the first time I saw Cal.
No, you didn't.
I said, man, that just looks like Dr. Manhattan to me.
Yes. Totally looked like him.
No, this was left field for sure.
Yeah.
It hit me like a hammer to the temple.
Man, she just kept going.
Yeah, she really did.
Wow, all right.
It's like, how far is whatever this is buried into his head?
You know, yeah, she gave like three or four solid good whacks, and there wasn't as much damage to his skull as I thought there would be. There was just like a hole that would be there from one hit, I think. I would think the skull would be somewhat decimated by four hard hits.
We never saw it afterwards.
Yeah, it did, because she stuck her fingers in there and pulled it out.
That was going to be my thing is, I mean, I get Angela's a strong detective person, but I mean, even the strongest person, like, you'd have to hit the right spot with a hammer to go straight through on the first hit to get to brain matter, I think.
Really?
Especially with that part of your skull being...
How hard to hit skull?
But I imagine, like, you'd have to hit the same spot a few times to break the skull open so you can dig around in the brain.
Yeah, no, for sure. But she's a badass. Did we forget that?
No.
Yeah.
There's a difference. I mean, there's plenty of... Come on now. In martial arts movies, the smallest guy who's probably let's be honest, like pound for pound, the weakest is also probably the biggest badass and will kill everybody.
Well, like Bruce Lee, he was a pretty tiny guy.
And he got his ass beat by Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Well,
a minor part of the movie. Did you see the movie, Randy?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm just kidding. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I'm fine. Don't worry. Yeah, I'll live.
You're not missing stuff.
It's a pretty funny scene, actually, because Brad Pitt plays this stuntman in Hollywood, and Bruce Lee's all talking shit behind the scenes, and Brad Pitt starts laughing, and Bruce Lee, or whatever his name is, challenges him to a fight. And then he starts doing like this,
it's like his signature thing.
All these poses. And then he starts charging Brad Pitt. And then Brad Pitt just kind of steps aside, grabs his leg as he jumps in the air, and slams him into a car.
It was pretty funny.
And then he got fired for ruining the car. Spoiler alert, he gets fired from that set.
Well, now the movie's ruined.
Yes. Yep. They had me fooled up until the second that I saw a blue reflection on her face.
Yeah.
Because she walked into that kitchen, and I thought she literally could have just been crazy. And he was legitimately like, okay, I think you're having some issues with this nostalgia still, or the medication. And then I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to kill him.
I thought it was going to be like a murder-suicide thing.
Something like that. Like, or she was going to kill him, and then nothing was actually there. She's like, oops.
My bad.
Yeah, and I like the way they framed it, because in the episode with Will, and she's questioning him, he's like, how do you know I'm not Dr. Manhattan? She's like, Dr. Manhattan can't be a person. When she knows the exact opposite is true, and she also knows Will can't be him, because Cal is him.
It's like,
I thought it was well done.
She did a really good job covering that up, too.
Yeah.
She was probably the only person who knew that.
And then, of course, we get Lady True, who also said, but you didn't ask me who he is. Because she knows it's Cal.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
She'd already figured it out.
But it was just funny to... And I didn't realize it at the time. At the time, I just thought, oh, Angela just doesn't care because she didn't believe her.
Well, I was thinking she was going to say it was Will. Like, that Lady True had figured out it was Will.
I'm an old man! I'm Dr. Manhattan! Fooled you!
He can pretend to be whoever he wants.
Maybe he is the wheelchair that Will's riding around in.
Yes.
And his face
That's
is
what
the
I
seat.
Would choose to be, yes.
There's just one caveat. What's that? The seat will be my face. Told you we'd make this show funny.
You're sick.
Yeah, good scene. If only there were going to be a crew of crazy people invading her house in the next episode that will help cover up that dead body in her living room. So I guess I'll go ahead, and since Dee is looking at me with a deer in the headlights look, we see the 7th Cavalry are sitting outside her house, basically monitoring her house, waiting for her to show up, I guess.
Yeah.
We see like a big firefight outside. So, and I thought that we saw the truck that had that like big 50 caliber gun with a tarp over it parked outside her house too.
So,
which was not disguised well.
Are we to believe that they already know that Dr. Manhattan is there?
They must, because they have a plan to capture Dr. Manhattan. So, I mean,
yeah.
And they're like, all right, first step in the plan is build all this stuff. Second part of the plan is to find him. Now that's the tough part, guys.
We think he's on the moon. But...
We're building a rocket ship to Mars. So
I wonder, all right, so we're going to get into the 7th Cavalry crap. Like, their plan is capture Manhattan and Keene becomes new Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's basically what they laid out. So we know from, I think, a previous Pedia, PDpedia, the Russians were trying whatever was an intrinsic field generator or whatever it was to create their own version of Dr. Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is that what they're doing? They're going to do the same thing. But then also, if that's the case, then what's with the teleportation stuff? Because they were obviously teleporting something. So I think it's not as simple as let's handcuff him or wrap him up and put him on train tracks. So I am interested in what their plan overall is, but
right.
I also like
we're all just going to rush him at once. He can't stop us all.
Yeah, well, I'm like, how do you stop a super being like that?
With teleporters?
Just going to like bounce him around like we did the basketball? I don't know.
Well, I saw an interesting article a while back before the show even started to where Ozymandias created that field generator or whatever to try to kill Dr. Manhattan. And then ended up killing the tiger. Did he actually create a Dr. Manhattan tiger?
No. So remember, he had a link that he... It was part of his genetic manipulation, kind of like with the squid.
Yeah.
It was this badass link. In fact, one of the kids in one of the episodes when Angela goes into the bedroom, he's got a stuffed animal version of that lynx. But he sacrificed the lynx to lure Dr. Manhattan into that intrinsic field generator. But unfortunately for Ozymandias, he says, like, that's how I was created. And that's the first thing I learned to do was after going into this field, how to reassemble myself.
Oh, but so a lynx probably couldn't figure it out.
Well, no. I don't think so. But
and then my paw!
I don't know that that's widely known, because that was a thing that was secret at Ozymandias' little stronghold.
Oh, like, so...
I don't know who else would know that.
Yeah.
I could see a scenario. I really could... Justified was really good at this. Justified was good as building up a villain, and then having that villain die in a very moronic way.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't know. And I could see Keen capturing Dr. Manhattan, throwing him in this thing, trying to make himself Dr. Manhattan, and ending, he just blows himself up and Dr. Manhattan kills. I don't know. A nice touch on this, though, for Keen becoming Manhattan is we got a good look at the Cyclops emblem. And if you look at the outside ring, it has the dot at the top, making it the symbol for Dr. Manhattan. Just with like a red painted in the middle to make it look like an eyeball.
So they kind of worship him a little bit, probably, too.
Or that's their... Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I wonder... We were talking about the Cal being possible a clone. I wonder if Ozymandias helped create Cal. Like if Dr. Manhattan approached him with his plan and says, hey, we need help. We need... You think you can throw one of these fetuses in that little spinny thing and make a dude and we'll stick something in his brain? Sure. Let me go fishing. Yeah. D, you're up.
So the scene between Lori Blake and Judd's wife.
Yeah.
That was... I really like that scene. And I don't know, because Lori went in there, like, I guess kind of trying to be nice. Like, maybe the wife didn't really know, or maybe she was trying to trick her into thinking that, you know, she wasn't sure if the wife knew. I don't know. But then, like, the sitting there, she's like, what are you doing?
And she's got that remote control that looks like it's from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's, like, got four click buttons.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Like the old fan buttons that you would see from the 80s.
And this is just another example of like evil villain ridiculousness that I think they're just kind of having fun with it a few times. Like I talked about the mesmerizing projector is a ridiculous plot that you would only see in a 1940s comic book. And then we get this with the couch that has a trap door that she falls into. That's another one of those. I was surprised the giant cage didn't fall down from above her and trap her in
and
there.
And then she falls through the trap door. That was pretty funny. And like, it wasn't working. And
too bad she didn't fall into a Sarlacc pit. I'll tell you that.
Mm.
Some snakes. I thought what was really good about this is right before they come up with the campy evil villain stuff, she admits to everything. She's like, yeah. And you're like, and even Lori's like, oh, crap. I was right. And you're just admitting this right now.
Yeah.
All right, fine. This is cool. The only thing I didn't like about the trapdoor thing is I don't care how, I mean, unless you're falling 100 feet, she's falling on that couch.
Yeah.
She's just stuck down there. Like, she has a gun. I don't understand.
Well,
I didn't like that part.
It was like the,
well, there was also a giant magnet down there that took the gun.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember seeing that. No, I mean, yeah, they made it seem like she had passed out after falling onto the couch.
Hey, who knows how far it was?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they had some, like, sleeping gas that they released.
Maybe.
From the shark tank that had the
or the gas the umbrella.
Yeah.
When it lowered just a little bit, I was like, what are they getting at here?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just going to fall all the way down. All right.
Well, I kind of thought for a moment, like, that Lori would have had better reaction time. But she was so surprised
there's
that
no
somebody
way you
would
predict
have it.
That. Right. Yeah. It's like, what are you about to play an 8-track player for me?
Yeah. Are you turning up the fan? It's not warm in here.
Oh, that was a great scene.
Yeah.
As silly as it was, it's still great.
It was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. That's all.
Yep. Randy.
All right. Again, I'm an idiot. So
okay.
It wasn't until the second viewing that I realized what was happening in, I almost called him Rorschach, Looking Glass's bunker.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we saw the guys marching towards the house. What's going to happen? Turns out he killed everybody, but there was one guy without a mask. I didn't think anything of it. In the second watch, I was like, oh, crap. Looking Glass is infiltrating the 7th Cavalry.
Oh,
he knows where they're at.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, he knows where they're at. And I'd have to go back. God, again, I have to credit the Redditor. But when Keen is explaining everything to Lori, there is one 7th K member that is lingering in the background, and there's a song about things are closer in the mirror plays right behind, right while that's happening. So I think especially with the fact that the mask is missing off of just one guy, it's pretty obvious that we're going to get, is his name Wade?
Yeah.
Or Mirror Man. I guarantee you, he will try to save her and she will call him Mirror Man.
That will be amazing.
Or maybe she'll finally call him Looking Glass. And it'll be like a touching moment.
I wouldn't like that.
And then they'll kiss.
No.
Oh.
No.
I don't think Looking Glass is making it out of this.
I don't think he is either.
He's the Rorschach of this piece.
Yeah.
Minus the racism
well,
and misogyny.
Yeah.
Oh, and the homophobia.
Yes, that too.
He's probably still got all that. It is Tulsa.
Every white male is a racist homophobe.
Everybody's racist in Tulsa.
That is what Wade said. Well, was a white man in Tulsa.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And I'm just going to assume Randy came up with it by himself.
Mm-hmm. No, I did not. I think that's what you're supposed to get from that scene.
Well, I didn't get it either. I assumed he was on a rampage somewhere.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to rewatch that too and look for him in the background. Let's see. My turn. Let's see. I'd like to talk about the elephant in the room. The literal elephant in the room. What's going on there, Randy?
Why an elephant?
The only thing I can think of is it just had to be, I don't know.
Because an elephant never forgets, and they're giving all the
they
memories.
They do have excellent memory.
Yes. Maybe that's it.
I think that
what if we sucked out juice from this elephant and pumped it into your body? Is that how it works? I don't know.
Whenever I think of elephants, I actually, for some reason, just based off like different things I've seen, I always think of empathy. Like, elephants are able to sense emotion.
Yeah.
Are they?
I think
so are gorillas,
that could have
though.
Something to do with it. I don't know.
See, an elephant's brain is 3 times larger than human's brain and has more neurons than humans do as well.
Then
why can't they talk or go in the toilet?
Why don't they have thumbs? All right, let me ask you this. Let's say because of all those reasons, whatever, that's why she's hooked up to an elephant. Why did Lady True lead her to believe that Will was in there?
Right.
Why haven't we seen Will since that one episode?
Right.
And why does a super fancy keypad that lets you into a super secure room just open up the door when you smash it with something?
It shouldn't.
It should have a fail safe to where...
You would think.
If you smash, oh, I'm smashed, you're not getting in here at all. I'm just going to have to lock until janitor comes by with the keys.
To let the elephant out?
Well.
I mean,
and why we
Lady True is really good at predicting things. So unless she's able, the only thing I can come up with is she knew that what's her butt would think that her grandpa's in there. She would crack it up and be an elephant, would throw her for a loop, and she would have to leave after Lady True spills this theory.
Oh, because she wants her to release Dr. Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that makes sense. And in order for that to make sense, they have to reveal how Lady True would understand that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think to do that, we probably have to understand what the 7th Cavalry's plan is and what the Millennium Clock is going to do. All these things. But maybe Will was in that room. Maybe he was being crushed by the elephant.
Could be. Yes. Maybe the elephant fell over.
And he was so crushed, he was just like, help! But she couldn't hear him.
Could be.
Why'd you take all the nostalgia? Wake up! So, yeah, the elephant in the room. I wonder what elephant in the room there was from this episode. If he was trying to play on that phrase.
He or Lady True?
Damon Lindelof.
Oh.
You don't put an elephant in the room if there's not, like, an elephant in the room somewhere to talk about. Metaphorical.
I kind of think it was Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, that maybe...
Maybe.
They had figured it out.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that it's a second watch. It's just so in your face from the get-go. Like, this episode's about Dr. Manhattan, guys. Everything in Vietnam is about Dr. Manhattan. It's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, D.
It's my turn again?
Yeah, there's only like 15,000 other things to choose from.
Oh, I thought...
But don't look at my list.
You talked about the elephant in the room.
Yep.
Got it. Let's see. So the trial of Ozymandias.
I would call it a kangaroo court if there weren't piggies.
Well, the pigs were his peers, and then his defense. Like, you know.
Got that old man fart going on.
Definitely an interesting trial.
What do you call buffalo meat?
Bison?
Is it bison? No, that's the name
that's
of an animal.
Yeah. Isn't buffalo meat buffalo meat?
No, it's got to have a name. Like, deer meat is venison.
No, venison is baby deer.
No, venison is just deer.
No, it's baby deer.
You're thinking of veal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind.
That's a good South Park episode, by the way. I don't know what it's called. I don't care. Google's not helping. Anyways, that's probably his diet is buffalo. Well, maybe he eats vegetables.
And some weird honeycomb cake.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't taste fair again. So I don't... Were they trying to decide his fate? I don't really understand what the trial was about, other than they were just angry that he tried to leave.
And what's the punishment?
Yeah, I don't know. Does he have to stay there long?
They can't banish him.
Right, like, didn't seem like he was going anywhere.
And my question is, how many times have they gone through this process?
Yeah.
This may be the 20th time he's done this trial, and it always ends up the same way,
yeah.
Which is why he's farting and...
And it was a year long trial.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Is time is passing much differently, on Europa. So this is a much longer time period than what we're seeing on Earth. So they're not lining up exactly happening at the same time. Because yeah, a year long trial, it'd be a brutal year.
Yeah, I might give that same defense.
And he doesn't say a word.
No, nope. Nope, but I think you get his point.
I did not realize that the Game Warden is one of the clones, the male clone.
Just with a mustache?
Yeah, it just changes his look completely with the mask and the mustache.
So it's strange to me that we can assume that Ozymandias, that's how you say it, right? Uh-huh. I said it wrong before. I keep wanting to call him Ozymandias. I don't know why.
That's fine.
You would assume that he creates these people after seeing the baby river and the little spinny machine. So then did he also create the Game Warden? And
I would say no, just because the Game Warden and then the prosecutor, they seem like a level of intelligence above
right.
the dummy clones that he's pulling out of the fetus river. So I got to think that although they are clones, he didn't create them. Maybe they are like a level 2 clone. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you also never know. It could be like the Matrix, where every once in a while he accidentally creates the one who's more smarter than the other clones and stronger, and they escape for whatever reason, and then they have these two faction of clones versus Ozymandias and clones, and it's a whole little world. Who knows?
Yeah,
it's wild. I gotta say, the green screen works really good too with all those clones.
Oh yeah, I think it'd be really nice if maybe they were some early clones that he educated and thought he could make better, and turns out they turn on him because of, you know, he's trying to kill them or something, and so then he just realizes, I gotta microwave these things and make them dummies.
Yeah, could be.
I think that's very likely.
That's all. I'm done.
All right, good. Do not speak again until we ask you to.
No.
You've already broken the rule.
Mm-hmm.
I'd try you with a jury of your peers, but I don't know, piggy.
Some
something.
Cute little pigs.
All right, Randy.
I will go with Lady True's parents.
Ah.
That was interesting.
So, yeah, we find out that, is it Bien?
Yeah.
What we perceived as her daughter is actually a clone of her mother, and that's why she's reliving these memories from Vietnam. She's feeding them and through nostalgia. Bien is also a genius. It's just, you know, it's fine. The thing that really, a lot of people theorize that. The thing that really perked my interest was when she said, if you were going to change the world, wouldn't you want, you know, I want my parents there. And she's like, where's your dad? And she says, he'll be here.
Right.
So obviously that's leaning towards, you don't have that without revealing that Lady True's dad, father is somebody we know.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something big.
Yeah.
So I could see
it's not a rando. Hi, I'm Bill.
It's not like Wade. It's not like Looking Glass is her dad. Yeah. That's not going to be a big reveal. But you know, the obvious two candidates are Veidt and Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty certain it's Veidt.
Yeah,
that's very
pretty
interesting.
Positive. That's who it's going to be. I'd be shocked if it was Manhattan, though.
That'd be a pretty cool technology to have. Is to once you're getting old and getting close to death. It's like, I think it's time to go ahead and clone, put me in a clone's body, and start that process over again. Just keep living forever. Isn't that the exact plot of, what was that movie with the Netflix show with the dude from the other
Bill
show?
Bill Kevin from The Killing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, well.
What was that show?
I mean, that's, I can't remember, but I mean, that's kind of the big, that's actually, whenever I watch those kinds of shows, it's always a question of, all right, if I create a clone of myself, is that me?
Yeah.
Or that's just a version of me, so if I die, I still die. It's not like I personally live, the being that I am lives on.
Right.
It's just this clone of me lives on.
Right.
So.
I guess the question is who are you? I would think it would be your brain, right?
Well, now you're talking about putting your brain into a different body.
Not the brain itself, but the contents of the brain.
I came up with a theory now.
Oh, boy. Oh, just now? Oh,
what if this place that Veidt is at is actually Tulsa, where his brain is at while he's being transferred over into another body.
Oh, interesting.
So he's not actually on another planet. He thinks he is.
Or what if he's just inside someone's body?
Right.
Just like a Cal situation.
Yes.
Oh.
What if that's what it is and he's trying to get out of this?
And that could be what Dr. Manhattan was doing while he was existing in Cal. See, that's my question. Was Dr. Manhattan being Cal or was he just stored in Cal?
Right.
So I don't know we have the answer to that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the case of Cal and Dr. Manhattan, I think that all knowledge and memory was suppressed as far as what had happened. It's just they made an agreement, and the Cal that is in the hospital report that woke up and he was in a tunnel or whatever, that's what happened. Like, everything prior to that doesn't exist, so he doesn't know he's Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, but does Dr. Manhattan consciously know that he's Cal? Or is he just in a little time trap like Ozzy is?
Right.
Does he think he's on Mars in this scenario like Ozzy thinks he's on Europa?
Yeah.
Possibly.
I don't know. That's just my theory. I just came up with it.
The only thing I would say to that is I'm not saying that's not the case, but
we will strike your one theory down, D.
No. No, because it could be interesting either way. Like, why is there a true satellite going by?
Yeah.
Because if he's locked in, if he is locked in some sort of hell, personal hell, then is that saying that Lady True is behind it?
Right. Or, I mean, maybe she doesn't know that this is his personal hell and she just believes she's doing something good for him. I don't know.
It's very, very interesting.
I don't know.
He loves Fetus Rivers.
Yeah, who doesn't?
The show I was thinking about is Altered Carbon.
That's it.
Fantastic show.
I liked it.
I loved it.
Loved it?
I loved it, man. And apparently there's going to be a season 2 coming out as well.
Okay.
Takeshi Kovacs. That was his name in the show.
Yes.
Okay. My turn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, so the daughter is the mom. That's taken. Okay, I'll go with music. I have two very particular moments in this show, this episode, where I really enjoyed the music. First one was at the very beginning during the Dr. Manhattan Festival. They were playing Living in America by, was it James Brown did that?
Yeah, you talking about from Rocky IV?
No, it was Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Rocky IV, you're right. I don't know if I've ever heard that song play anywhere other than Rocky IV and now episode 6 of Watchmen.
Accurate.
And it was such a cool song to play in that festival. I don't know, it just felt really cool. And partially because I think this whole festival and this obsession with Dr. Manhattan is kind of dark anyways, because Dr. Manhattan showed up in Vietnam and just decimated who knows how many Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And now half the population worship him. And, you know, there's this also select group of terrorists who do not enjoy being part of this America and are wanting to blow up people. So I thought it was pretty cool. And the other time was when Blake and Senator Keene are talking down and under the trapdoor or whatever. And we start getting... Trent Reznor music start kind of coming back in with a slow kind of driving beat. It was really nice.
Was that the his version of Life on Mars?
I don't know.
I know I'm not a huge Bowie guy, but I know people went gaga over a cover of David Bowie's Life on Mars that Trent Reznor did in this episode.
Interesting. I thought there was an I wonder if that was the credits music, because that stood out to me. But it did not make my notes. Living in America. Don't worry, Rock. I will send this Russian back to Russia with some punches. When in reality, I will die.
At least that shitty movie gave us.
Hey, that was an excellent movie.
Rocky movies are terrible.
Whoa.
I've never seen an entire one.
Well, see. I'm more upset at Randy than I am at you right now.
Rocky 1? is entirely too long. Two, still too long. Three is when it got ridiculous and they're running on the beach and it's very racist because in order for Rocky, a white man, to beat Clubber Lang, which is played by Mr. T, a black man, he has to train with a black man to learn how to be fat.
I'm pretty sure he had to go to Harlem, too, to train.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Oh, dear.
Well, some inner city. Man, Rocky IV, when he defeated communism, that was great.
I haven't even seen Creed. And I'm the dude who plays What's-His-Face, the main character, is pretty hot.
Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. Yeah, and Tessa Thompson's in it.
No, I liked him in Drumline.
And actually, it's the best acting I've ever seen Sylvester Stallone do is in Creed.
That probably says a lot, because he's not that great.
Well, it says less, I think, because he's not there. It's the best he's done.
Well, all right. Well, there you have it. I have a long list of things that we still didn't get to. Randy, do you have some things?
What about Angela's grandma? We haven't talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, shit,
I just had a little heart attack. It's nothing to worry about. Don't worry. It's just a small one. That sucked.
That was real bad luck. She's all happy and in the car and get ready to be taken home to her family, and then grandma dies. Back to the orphanage.
Back to the sweatshop with the terrible school marm or whatever that person is. They're all yelling at her.
That's just how she speaks.
I wrote down also that, you know, Vietnam may be an American state now, but it's still run a lot differently than America because they just took that suspect that the 6-year-old girl just identified as the terrorist and just executed him behind a building.
Yeah. Like, did Angela know that that was going to happen? She was like, I want to watch.
I probably
it's
think
like,
so.
What's wrong with you?
She said, I want to listen.
Yeah.
I think she would have watched had they let her.
And then she's like, you're going to be a cop walker. Interesting.
And the Pedipedia is there was an influx of black people to Vietnam. They were trying to escape the racial oppression in the continental United States by moving to Vietnam.
That makes sense.
So the only thing I can think of that we maybe missed, and that's I don't think it's a huge deal right now, is if there's a point to show us important things on this show and everything has a meaning, then what was the meaning behind showing Angela looking at the damn Dr. Manhattan booth things?
At the festival as a child?
No. When she is in Lady Tremblay and she's in that globe.
I don't know.
Like, because she hits, you know, one area and it shows some lady talking to in the Dr. Manhattan booth saying whatever she's saying. She hits another one and it shows Lori giving the joke.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what purpose that served.
Unless it was just to show us that that was...
That they're all just going to Lady Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Why keep them like that, though? It's like granted, she has money to play with, but couldn't you just have it hooked up to a computer? Why do you have to have a fancy click globe?
Because it look cool?
And, like, on a globe, when you click, like, Tulsa... For example, there's probably thousands of submissions to Dr. Manhattan.
Well, yeah.
And your little finger, your little fat finger is going to be like, oh, you just clicked 1,000 things. Which one do I play? You'd have to zoom in a little more. Come on, people. You have to enhance.
It would have been kind of an annoying scene if she would have just been flipping through 1,000 of those.
With things also, you could be a good way to... collect data on people.
It's probably what she was doing.
In an evil way.
Probably for research of some sort.
Like you get Lori Blake in there, who's a high-ranking FBI agent. Now she has information on her. And who knows? She comes in there all the time, and she talks. So tons of information. Politicians could come in there and confess things. You never know.
Could be.
Real quick, one thing I do want to say, this is not a spoiler for the next episode, I don't want to forget, a TV reviewer named Keith Phipps He stated that don't tune out as soon as the credits stop on the next episode.
So
I guess sit through the credits. Because apparently there's something that's going
to
happen.
Good to know, because I usually do not watch past the credits. No need to on most TV shows.
I fast forward, but this one was actually, the end of this episode was pretty cool, because right before the next Dawn started, the HBO logo came up, but it just said HB,
yeah.
And then the O was the, that's right. The Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, that
was
cool.
See that. That was neat.
But I think it's going to be bigger than that.
We're changing the O.
We're doing the logo slightly differently. One big thing that, I mean, we don't have much to talk about it because we still don't know, but if we had the countdown to the Millennium Clock throughout the entire episode.
Yeah.
12 hours until blah, 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 blah. 8 hours until blah, 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 blah. And then like 4 hour, at the 4 hour mark, I remember this. They were like 4 hours until we turn on the Millennium Clock. Make your way to the observation deck. 4 hours? What are you going to do it there for 4 hours?
Chill out.
Bring a book. I mean, 30 minutes, that's when you need to start making your way over there.
Listen, this Millennium Clock is in Tulsa, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember in the movie Independence Day when there were alien ships hovering over a city? Everybody just partied, drinking. You're going to tell, and that was in like big cities like New York. You're going to tell me in Tulsa they're not out there with a keg like, woo!
I don't think these scientists are from Tulsa, though.
Well, no, but I mean, everybody out in Tulsa knows that the Millennium Clock is coming.
Slowly starting backing up trucks to the Millennium Clock.
Tailgating.
People playing cornhole and horseshoes. I imagine it being like the Thor's hammer in the first Thor movie.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all just trying to pull
that, and they've literally backed their trucks up to the hole, and they're just having a good time, partying, playing music.
I'm down for that.
Of course, they can't get on the property.
Well, you know.
We will party outside of your property! So, I'm interested to see what happens with this thing. Now we finally have a clock that does not require batteries. You're welcome. That is all.
Yeah, the Millennium Clock just is a giant hologram of a digital clock across the night sky.
And it's just flashing 12.
Can't ever get this thing to work.
Damn it.
It's daylight savings time. Who's going to reset the clock?
Planes are crashing from the sky. I like it. Let's see. I wanted to talk about that video footage we got in the video store at the beginning, where it was kind of a promo for the Dr. Manhattan, I guess, documentary that they were making. And we saw some really cool updated footage of Dr. Manhattan in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When he's just tearing through the countryside. That was really, really nice. I thought it was cool. Obviously, the movie made it a little more dramatic when they did it. But
I'm glad he was wearing underwear.
Yeah.
Nobody wants a big, giant blue dong going across the city.
Doc, you're already killing people. We need you to put on the underwear. That's too much.
Big floppy dong.
What would the hashtag have been back then?
Hashtag, I saw the dong.
The sky is blue, and so is the dong. I think that's all I got. Other than just the general Dr. Manhattan Festival, I thought that was super cool.
Hashtag, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a giant blue dong.
2 for 2, D. You got a theory tonight?
I am on fire about the dongs.
And a joke. How about that overweight dude who was painted blue at the beginning and had the underwear on?
Hey, he's allowed to.
Oh, of course. I just thought it was funny.
Fat shaming him?
No, it was just funny. And then like around his underwear bands, you could see where it like kind of rubbed off the blue paint. So...
He blew himself.
Yes, unblew himself.
So many Sony Arrested Development memes after this week's episode.
Oh, that's true. I love that festival. That was badass. They had the marionettes.
Yeah, I like the puppets. They're good.
Well, that's all I got. Anything else from y'all?
Nope.
Yep.
Or use guys?
Yep.
All right, let's rate it. D.
I think I'm going to go with a 4 on this one.
Okay. Randy?
Although we didn't talk about it, the interweaving of Angela's memories and Will's memories was, I thought, really cool, which to me elevates this episode to a 4.
Oh, otherwise you didn't like it, huh?
That was okay. I know, I probably would give it a 3 or a 3.5 otherwise, but I thought that that was just cleverly done and yeah, it really conveyed the point.
All right. Well, I'm going 4.5.
Gotta be different.
No, I really enjoyed the episode, and the festival was super cool.
Yes.
This guy loves
me. I just love the marionettes. apparently, we also got dinged by a fan.
Did you get donged?
We got blue donged via email. Our old friend Tony, he wrote in and said, we're still doing ratings with rankings.
We're never going to get that correct.
I don't remember doing that, but I don't know.
We've discussed it a few times. And
well, I'm sure it didn't help starting with episode 1 when I gave it a 5. And I had nothing else to go off of. I guess maybe that's accurate because I didn't have anything to go off of as far as other Watchmen episodes concerned. It was just, I thought it was a damn fine episode to debut.
Well, I think you were saying what the rate would be like the individual show. You can't compare it to any other episodes, but then ranking would be all together, like comparing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what we're essentially doing by saying, ooh, I want to give this episode a 5, but what if there's an episode in the future that's better, then I can't go any higher than 5. So you're like, well, okay, then I'll give this one a 4.5, when you're truly underrating the episode if it truly is a 5.
Oh.
Whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't care about that.
I'm going by the episode now.
It's kind of how it goes, though, like in competitions. And, you know, I grew up in show you how super cool I am, marching band competitions.
But the reveals on this podcast.
You never want to go too early in the day because judges always rank a little lower because they can't be like, 10! Oh, my God! And then, a true 10 comes out later. And it's like, oh, crap.
That last one sucked.
Johnson, everyone's been a 10 today. Well, that first one, I really screwed myself on that one. So I'm not saying it's right, but yeah. We should, at the end of this series, though, go through and rank everything.
I mean,
we're amazing.
Rank
we're
them episodes
10.
1 to 9.
Yeah, yeah, best to worst.
It's fine.
I will go with episodes 1 through 9. In that order. I am interested too. Is sometimes when we go back and rewatch, it'll kind of, the episode will sweeten a little bit once you get that reveal once the season's over, and you'll start seeing those clues. Because I'm sure there's things that we haven't noticed.
True. We can rank the overall season. Well, no, we'd have to rate it because we can't compare it to any other season.
No, but you can rank episodes within the season.
Yeah.
Once they're all aired. And we will do that. Now let's go to the most watchable moment. Dun, dun, dun. D. Yeah, you should have been thinking instead of doing a little dance over there.
I needed to dance. I think I'm going to go with the trapdoor scene.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good
one. Now I'm going to dance.
Trap.
It's a good thing I'm dancing when I'm doing a podcast so people can see.
It's probably a good thing that they can't. Randy?
Angela murdering her husband and pulling out the ring, preventing him from being Dr. Manhattan.
It's pretty good.
Okay. I got to pull an elephant in the room on this one. Let's see.
That wasn't sex related.
Nope, you're stumped now, aren't you?
I'm confused.
You were just...
No, I'm confused how that was sex-related. That was what I was thinking of.
No, I said it's not.
You're saying your dong was huge.
I didn't say that.
It's the size of an elephant.
Not an elephant, an elephant's brain. I don't know. I was gonna go with the Manhattan Festival and the terrorist attack.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, go ahead and support terrorism. Fine.
Yeah. Good.
Manhattan Festival and terrorism in general. Well, technically, mine's the longest, which could
make
it.
Makes me not want to say it.
All right, D-vote.
I mean, I like the festival and terrorism. But I also like the murdering.
Of husbands?
Mm-hmm. Definitely that.
And you can't vote for trapdoor.
I'm going to go for murdering.
Okay, okay. Randy?
In this instance, I will support terrorism.
And I will also go with murdering.
Does that make Randy win like 3 in a row? I don't like this.
Nope, I won last week.
Okay.
Well, there you have it. That episode is in the bag.
There you have it, folks. We have wrapped it up. Done some stuff.
D's doing a little radio stuff over here. I've had
some caffeine tonight. You usually don't have caffeine this late.
I have noticed not as many yawns.
Normally have this much energy this late at night.
Okay, okay.
Because of the caffeine.
Well, let's keep going for another hour.
No.
Oh.
Because although I'm caffeinated, I could still fall asleep at any second.
Oh, narcolepsy crash.
All right. Well, let's before we check in, we haven't done this yet, but why not start now?
Oh no!
Talk about the next on. Oh. We see Angela in a shootout outside her house with the 7th Cavalry, and I guess we get the backstory of how they fell in love.
Or
in Vietnam,
they?
I guess. Yeah. Was there ever a moment when you realized you were in love? So.
I loved him as soon as I saw his big blue dong.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how well Dr. Manhattan has done. Because personally, I thought he was done so well in the movie that it's going to be hard for me not to compare the two.
Yeah, but once a movie has a bigger budget...
Does it?
Budget doesn't matter, though. Yeah, I'm sure this budget's pretty big, though.
It is HBO.
We're going to give you a budget the size of a giant blue dong. Whoa, that's pretty big. Because I can... Okay. So, was there anything else I missed from the next on, or was that kind of just the general tease?
About it.
About right. It, yeah.
Puts on a mask.
A mask over his blue skin.
He did.
Yeah.
I know.
And I guess he'd blend right in Vietnam, because everybody else is painted up as him, and he's just going to be in incredible shape.
You can be into Dr. Manhattan and in good shape.
Yeah, I guess so.
They don't all have to look like that one guy.
I kind of want to go as that at Halloween.
Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah.
Do it.
Just get a pair of, you know, dark gray underwear and then just paint the body blue.
Do it. I will just call you Tobias the whole night.
And then paint a little circle on your forehead.
Yeah, you got to do the circle thing on your forehead.
And then every once in a while, you got to come out naked and just kind of slowly stomp through people's living rooms like, die, Vietnamese! Or is that too much?
Yeah.
How about this? You and I go to the same Halloween party. You're dressed as Dr. Manhattan. I'm dressed as Tobias Bluth. Mustache. Ooh, let's see how confused yes. people are.
Can you color the mustache pink, though, to make it skin colored?
He did that, didn't he?
He did.
But not as Blue Man.
Right, he did it as Michael.
And then, so we'll do those two things. And D, you can dress up as a Blue Man from the entertainment group.
Okay.
And no one's going to know what any of those things are.
Yeah, let's just watch the question marks pop up above people's heads.
Did you guys need to match, but not really match.
Randy, because you're going to be all blue, but you're going to be in jean cutoffs. And you'd have to shave, you'd have to wear a bald cap too.
Yeah, well, so would you.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fine.
You need a mustache and color it blue. Randy would, not
this
you.
This will never happen.
We're not that coordinated.
All right, Dee, let's check in.
We're
what you been working
this
on?
In about
do
5
it for
seconds.
New Year's.
We'll call it Blue Years.
Oh!
Nice.
Let's see. I watched The Crown Season 3.
Oh.
I liked it. It was good. But I love historical fiction, so it's good stuff.
Whoa. Isn't that just... Wait, what is historical fiction?
Means it's history, but they add a little bit of fiction to it to make it more interesting.
Really? I thought it was just straight up fiction taken out of like history books.
No.
Isn't this supposed to be like a based on true events?
That's why it would be called historical fiction.
Okay, Google, define.
Oh, my Lord.
I hate to side with Dee on anything, but she's right. Not in that it's a good show and that it's historical fiction.
Google was answering.
Now, see, if there's a different definition. Historical fiction is defined as movies and novels in which a story is made up but is set in the past and sometimes borrows true characteristics of the time period in which it is set. So yeah. That is not historical fiction because
yes,
it's,
it is.
But it's about the actual people and the actual events.
Which is what you just read?
I think I actually activated Google somewhere
in the
studio.
Yeah, you did. I don't know where it's coming from.
I am Google, and I can't believe I'm on a podcast.
Stop saying that. It's going to keep talking.
What's up, bros? It's me, Googs.
So I'm gonna claim victory on that.
No.
I
know what I'm talking about.
Really?
Yes.
I've never had less faith in you than I do now.
Never have any faith in me.
Do I need to bring up the bow staff skills?
They are sharp.
All right, so Crown Season 3.
Yes.
Just as bad as the rest of them. Gotcha.
Excellent.
What else?
I think that's about it. I watched the entire Season 3 in a week.
Was it good?
Yeah, why would I recommend it if it wasn't good?
Any new music?
No.
Any new foods?
No.
Any new drinks?
No.
All right. Randy, let's pick this up.
All right, I got two things for you. First up is the film that came out this past week, Knives Out. It is a Rian Johnson movie. It is a murder mystery whodunit starring Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis. Tons of people are in it, and it is absolutely fantastic and hysterical and really smart. It's great.
Huh, is it in theaters?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
There's one character in it that is he performs no actual function in the context of the movie other than to be me, just shooting shots in the background and making sarcastic comments. Like, he's fantastic. It's a great movie. You should go see it.
Is he moving the plot at all?
No, he is seriously just making sarcastic comments in the background the entire movie.
Interesting.
But no, Daniel Craig is great. Chris Evans, just so honky, so dreamy, so good.
I do like him.
Did he have his Captain America body?
Yeah, but clean shaven, had he looked great. Looked great.
He's a good looking guy.
Judd Nelson's hysterical in it. I mean, yeah, it's just a great character. It's fun. It's a great whodunit movie.
Is it a comedy? Or is it like comedy action, or is it just have funny parts? Or
it's mostly dialogue. You know, obviously a whodunit is you're at a locale, somebody died, you got to figure out who killed that person or how that person, how did that person die? And so Daniel Craig plays this investigator who is trying to figure that out. And so, you know, they question the people individually, they give their stories, you find out conflicting information and, you know, true characters are revealed. It's just, and all the while there, it's just funny juxtaposition with what they say versus something they're doing. Yeah, it's fun. Like, for instance, this isn't spoiling anything. It's just one of the people in it is she's a nurse, and you never know where she's from because every person in the family says that she's from a different country because they just don't care. They're like, oh, yeah, she's from Uruguay, or, oh, this is a Brazilian chick. Like, it's just, it's fun stuff like that.
All right.
And I began watching a show on Netflix called The Movies That Made Us.
Oh, I really want to see that.
I felt like I didn't understand. I thought maybe they tailored it to every individual person in America because it was Dirty Dancing, Home Alone, Ghostbusters, and Die Hard, which is the core of my youth, if you throw in Footloose. So, I've watched the Dirty Dancing one. It's fantastic. It's just the story behind how these movies got made and, you know, ins and outs of things, of relationships. It's great.
Interesting.
I do definitely want to see that one.
Yeah. The Dirty Dancing one is funny because apparently they're showing footage, casting footage of, you know, so they had two males that came down to and two females, and the two females were Jennifer Grey and Sarah Jessica Parker, and the two males were Billy Zane and Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Billy Zane was the other one that auditioned.
Was Sarah Jessica Parker in it?
No, she wasn't.
She was in Footloose, but no, she was auditioning for the lead in this, and it came down to her and Jennifer Grey, and Jennifer Grey got it.
Interesting. I've never seen the movie, so I will not watch the Netflix thing.
God. Man. It's one of the best movies ever.
It's legit great.
Yeah, maybe.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Yeah, it's probably great in the 80s, but probably not great now.
Excuse me. It's still amazing.
I still wish I could horny dance.
Are you telling me that Footloose holds up?
This is Dirty Dancing.
Either one of them does, well, there, does
no,
they
hold
up?
There's two different stories. Like, Dirty Dancing is a... It was kind of, I don't want to say revolutionary, but it was a woman that wrote it, and it was produced by a woman, and it got passed over a lot in the studios because they were like, "Ah, it's just big Hollywood guys." We're like, "Nah, I don't give a shit about this. Who cares about what a woman thinks?" But this is a different animal. It's not. It's more campy.
Yeah, definitely.
But it does have Kenny Loggins.
It does.
It's true.
Jimmy Chonga Footloose.
I don't think those are the words.
Jimmy Chonga. Yeah, those are my two recs.
Cool. I finished watching the last season of The Man in the High Castle.
Did Hitler win?
He died seasons ago.
Oh.
Wow. It was all right. They wrapped it up. They tied up a little bow. It was good. Not as good as it could have been, but I liked it.
You sound disappointed.
Well, it's tough to stick the landing when you're ending a series, you know?
I suppose.
And that show really went off the rails on, like, I don't know, supernatural stuff that you didn't think would happen when they first started the show. So it veered off. But still fun. It's a fun watch.
Super fun.
And I find myself sympathizing with the main Nazi in the end.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You a Nazi sympathizer?
With this one guy, sure.
Hmm.
But I have a feeling that the writers were trying to do that.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it for me. Other than my big video game bash coming up this weekend.
Nerd.
Got some more RSVPs. We're up to like three dudes. Be a good time.
Sounds fun.
It will be fun. We're going to play Overwatch all night long. Maybe some Rock Band.
Which is weird that you would play a game that you could play together in your own homes, but you won't even be talking to each other. You'll be talking through your headsets. In the same room.
Well, you still got to be able to hear what's going on in the game, and you can't just yell out in a room. That's crass. Civilized gentlemen.
I think it's weird. Everybody brings their computers over.
Well, that's why you're not invited, D.
Bunch of nerds.
Don't show up at my house.
Oh, I'm showing up. I'm going to bring my little laptop.
Who wants some competitive solitaire?
You guys ever heard of Minesweeper? I got a 4x4 screen, and boom, winner.
We've been promised a visit from Randy at the party.
I don't know about that.
Oh, Randy's invited. Yep. I see how it is.
Yep.
Whatever.
That's it for me. Although I will have some big announcements next week with my gaming consortium party. Ooh, and Crisis on Infinite Earths. Looking forward to that. Future recommendation. All right, that's it.
All right.
I guess we'll see y'all. There's only two episodes left.
Oh, my God.
And as we do every week, y'all stall while I look up the title of the next episode.
Oh, dear. Sure. I can talk about the finale of Titans and how I was angry at it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too. How'd you like it?
I was angry at it.
I thought that the death that happened was not good.
It was stupid.
Great show though, Randy. You should still check it out.
It was a good. I mean, overall, it's a great show. I was just they didn't stick the landing. They did not.
All right. Next week's episode is called "Way to Go with Vamping," guys. By the way,
you're welcome.
It's called "A God Walks into a Bar." Which is literally what's going to happen.
It's how they met. Oh.
And it should be noted that this episode will be 63 minutes long.
Burr, burr, burr.
Not 52.
I don't know if I can do that. It's like 10 extra minutes.
Yep. Should be great. I think this is going to be a 5. I'm going to predict a 5.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all next week. There are only 2 episodes left.
You already said that.
And then we're going to go on winter hiatus.
And then after that, hibernate like bears.
Yes. And then hopefully, man, I don't know what's going to happen as far as like Watchmen season 2 news. That'd probably be a year away if it ever happens at all.
What are we going to podcast?
I would like to go scene by scene of the movie.
There's always wrestling in Housewives.
It's true.
I'd like to wrestle with Housewives.
I don't think I would.
They would kick my ass.
No, not those Housewives. They're brutal. All right. Well, until next week, I'm Steven.
I'm Randy.
I'm Dee.
And a blue dong to you, too.
Hashtag blue dong.